woman, a white woman's Instagram.
So I lied to you when I texted you and said, making a cup of coffee, link for the recording forthcoming.
Uh-huh.
I then took a shower after the
What the fuck, dude?
I took the world's quickest shower. Well, I had to wait on Christina. Like I said, she was getting ready to go to this doctor's appointment. So I said, whatever, I'll take a very fast shower. And then in the shower, the water was backing up. The drain's not clogged, but it's one of those drains that...
Yeah.
I'm fucking amazed the amount of hair and dust that comes off of me when I shower.
Dust.
because it blocks the drain every single time. It's just this pile of dust and hair, and it blocks
the
drain.
Ew, what do you mean dust?
Like lint.
Lint?
Why yes, if you, lint? And skin. I should throw in the dust is skin. That's a component of dust.
That's true. They eat your skin.
And so as this is all washing off of me, blocking up the drain, I decide to pee in the shower. Brilliant idea, even though it's covering my feet, the
this
water.
Is getting real gross.
So I pee in the shower and it doesn't drain quickly.
Ew.
And then I'm standing in my own pee water.
Nass. You're so gross.
Oh, says the person who constantly, we're just humans. It's natural. These are normal things.
Well, it is natural, but I don't want to hear about it. It's like pooping is natural, but I don't want to hear about your poop.
Now you've never gone on like Reddit to look up the world's largest poop pictures?
No, never.
To see someone.
What? Do people do that?
Do
you do that? Are you telling me you do that?
I ventured down that lane once because... Uh-huh. And see, I don't want to talk about that. For whatever reason, I do draw a line. Peeing in the shower and standing, waiting in my own urine is not the same as talking about a giant dump that clogs the toilet for days. So I feel hesitant to talk about that. But yeah, there was one time I was curious to see what the biggest ones in the world were. And quite often they happen in public bathrooms. I think they are heroin addicts. Not all the time.
Oh, that get constipated?
Yeah, not all the time. Clearly people have big poops. Sure. And they're not heroin addicts. But a lot of these pictures that I saw, I think were heroin addicts.
Well, especially if they're in public bathrooms, seems like
that's their only option. And sometimes it's not even in the toilet. It's just this giant thing. I don't know if they know that it's going to clog. Sometimes people are just assholes for the sake of being assholes.
Yeah.
When you're next to a toilet, there's zero excuse not to go to the bathroom in the toilet, but... I don't know how women's bathrooms are. Sometimes men's bathrooms, you go in and you think, you did this on purpose. There's no way this happens naturally with the amount of stuff that is sprayed everywhere.
Men, so this is something I wanted to talk about today, is men's behavior.
Oh, yeah, that's not credit scores?
No, but I did ask you what your credit score was, because I was proud of mine.
Sorry, I stepped away from the mic to open the blinds, but I still heard you. I still heard you. I figured that. You asked what my credit score was.
Yeah.
And then I sent you a bunch of screenshots to show off.
It's good.
And I don't know, were you somewhere in your head hoping yours was higher than mine?
No, because I knew that yours was high. So I was hoping it was really close. And it is really close, but yours is freaking excellent.
Well, you're in the 800s. That's excellent.
Oh, for sure. I just mean, you know, I expected to be closer to yours because I've thought, ooh, mine's really good right now. I know Greg's is high. What's his? So,
like I said, I had you pegged for a 780.
Yeah, which I find insulting.
That's still a very good credit score, 780.
It is, but pfft, not when you're in the 800s.
I know. You want to be
when you're in the 800 club.
You want to be in the hallowed land of 800.
Yeah.
Where... I roam, where I play. There's so many different credit scores. It's the FICO 8 score. It's the credit, Karma, TransUnion, and Experian
Equifax.
Scores. Oh, yeah, it's the Equifax one, not it's the other one, Experian. Mm-hmm. Experian is the third one.
Why is your credit score so good?
Because I don't have late payments. You have to build credit. I think that's the
but
one thing.
But I don't
thing.
Have late payments either.
Well, yours is very good.
I know, but how come yours is 830?
What helped me in the past was having giant loans, like a mortgage at one point in my life.
Mm.
Several car loans over the course of my existence.
Right.
That's what they want.
I really just had two.
They want you to have debt. When you have debt and you're responsible with that debt, then your credit score goes up. If you don't have debt ever, bad thing. We want you to have debt. You're not going out there. You're not making big purchases. You're not borrowing money. Fuck you. You're going to never get out of.
You're not even like, are you even living?
750 range.
They check and see if you're dead. If you don't have debt, this person must be dead if they don't have debt.
But then if you have too much debt,
Hey, that's
if you close a source, if you close a source of that debt, like a credit card, it's going to hurt you for a bit. It's a stupid fucking system.
Yeah.
All the rules that go into it. But if I ever get to 850, I'll screenshot. It's just arbitrary if it happens at this point.
What'll happen if you get to 850?
Nothing. That's the limit.
You get free loans for life.
Yeah, I wish. Zero interest forever.
Mm-hmm.
But then what's the point? Why would people want to lend to me if they're not making money off of me?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. I really don't understand even the country's debt, because I do know that a lot of our debt is owed to ourselves. So I don't even know. That's, like, that's not even a thing that should happen. So
that one's way too complicated and doesn't operate against the same set of rules.
No, it doesn't. But I feel just as confused by it. It's like, whatever. I don't know.
Until BRICS takes off, and then the U.S. is fucked.
BRICS?
Yeah, that currency that Russia and China,
Brazil, I think,
are trying to put together. India. To fuck over the U.S. dollar. Rightly so. Why should they be beholden to it as we flaunt it? You're using our money. We get to do what we want with our money. Yes, we have so much debt, but fuck you. It doesn't mean anything because it's our money. Until one day it does mean something, and then everything goes to shit. Borrow more money. Put more money in the stock market. I bought a call option for Amazon, by the way. Now I'm dabbling in options.
What does that mean?
This can only end well.
What is a call option?
A call... do we have time to get into
options?
Macaulay
Culkin.
At its most basic, a call option is a contract that gives you the right to buy stock at a given price. So Amazon stock was around 183. I bought a call option with a strike price of 185, and it expires in September. So that means I have until September for the stock price to go to 185 or higher, at which price, if it goes, let's say it goes to 195, I can still buy the stock for 185. 100 shares. Each contract is 100 shares of stock. Now, do I want to spend $18,000 on the stock? No, not really. Even if it goes up and you can immediately turn it around for profit. So then you just can sell the call option and someone else will buy it for a higher price. The big thing is you can't stay in options forever. They have expiration dates. So if Amazon stock went to 170 and the expiration date in September came, my initial investment buying the option for $1,400 or whatever it cost, I could try to sell it a few weeks before at a loss, or if it expires, I just lose that money. It's the end of it. Or I could buy the stock for an inflated price and hope that it goes up one day.
So you're like banking on Bezos.
Yeah, I hate it. On one level, I do think it's disgusting. But Amazon, their revenue's going to go up with this advertising model they've implemented, and now they're heavily getting into investing, at least, into AI companies. But this one's more straight up gambling. It's all gambling to an extent.
Well, it's all gambling.
But with stock, unless the company goes bankrupt, at least you can just sit on it in hopes that one day it goes back up. So it is gambling, but it's not an end date where you put your money in the slot machine and that's that. If you don't win, it's gone.
Oh, I see. Right.
It's kind of what.
What
I've
made
done.
You do that? Your excellent credit score did it.
No, when I look at my account and I see that negative $5,400 something dollars of unrealized gains from AMC, I want to close the gap a bit.
Mm.
Maybe that should have taught me a lesson. It's like, hey, just back off at this point. But I know what went wrong with AMC. It was greed and idealism. What a terrible combination.
I would say one side greed, other side greed and idealism. Right? Because the other side everybody lost because the other side was bailed out.
Well, with it, with AMC, no one was really bailed out.
No, no, the people that bought the short sale.
Who shorted the stock?
Yeah, yeah, because that was the way that it was supposed to go to the moon, was like once those shorts came to call or whatever. I don't know the words.
Yeah, but there was going to be a margin call on the people who shorted the stock because the stock price right. was going to continue to go up and the borrowing costs were going to get too
high. And then that would bankrupt the entire system, right? Because it was so much money. So they said, we're not going to let that happen.
There's these idiots who said that the shares were going to go up to $150,000 a piece, $500,000 a piece. In my mind, I just had a target price of $100, which was fucking insane in its own right. But it seemed reasonable in the moment when it shot up to $72. I thought, that's doable. Mm-hmm. And then it had a very slow decline. I'm talking months. It took months for it to bleed off. Like, it sat in the 50s. It wasn't like I needed to sell it at any given moment to make a profit. I sat there and I watched it. And when it went from 70 and they halted trading because the volume was crazy, and then people got scared and started selling, it stabilized at like the low 60s. And then it just kind of slowly bled off, and I could have sold it still for not the maximum profit at 70, obviously, but still plenty of money to be made. But at that point, I had that $100 sign in my mind. And I also had...
Well, there was that whole culture of like the diamond handing and stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
so you're like, you don't want to give up. You don't want to be those people that give up.
Yeah, you pussy. You sold out.
Right.
You need to... Yes, that has somewhat of an effect. Mm-hmm. I don't know these people. I'm not interacting with these people in real life. It's all happening on our fucking subreddit. So fuck them. They don't know if I sold. But you read that enough and it sinks in. But the part I bought into, as I think we just said a couple shows ago, actually, but was the part where if you don't sell the stock, there isn't much liquidity. There aren't stocks for the shorts to buy, which we all know is fucking bullshit anyway, because there was an instance of a man buying every single share of stock for one company, and it was still trading on the market after that, even though he owned all the shares and didn't have them up for borrowing.
What?
Yeah, it goes to show that it's bullshit. That
I hate everything, Greg. Everything is bullshit. Fucking everything. Is that what staying alive long enough leads you to, that everything is bullshit?
Yes. Yeah, so you should have known this from the start like I did, but you get labeled negative. You're negative. It's like, no, I'm just telling you the way it is.
The straight poop.
I'm keeping it real.
Keeping it real. Keeping it real.
I found that site, by the way.
You did?
It's, we can't even say what it was. It was Slow-Mo, the rapping.
Yeah.
Slow man. Anyway, whatever. That's pointless to talk about. But the Wayback Machine, I found that site and played it for nice. Christina.
She was like, what? Okay.
But yes, it's all shit. It's all absolute shit. This man owns all the stocks of one given company. When you own stocks, sometimes with your, like if you're on E-Trade or if you're on Fidelity, there's an option by default that you're allowing your shares to be borrowed. So other people can come in and pay you like an interest rate if they borrow your stocks. So they can still short the stock or some shit like that. But this man made sure none of that was happening. The stocks were locked up.
Yeah.
And still, it was trading on the market. So this idea with GameStop, AMC, yes, there was a lot of fucking greed involved. And people thought they were going to get so fucking rich, they wouldn't know what to do with the money. $500,000 a share. Give me a fucking break, you you fucking idiots. And if you said something like that, it's like, you're a shill. It's the same... Yeah. Fucking mentality you see with politics these days, where if you aren't completely aligned with someone's beliefs, then you're against them. It's like, you know, 98% were aligned. I think you're a bit extreme with this. Well, fuck you,
right?
And then they call, you know, the mob. They sick the dogs.
But that's not true. I think person to person, that's just true online.
I know that's always your stance.
Well, I think that's the truth, because in person people don't call you so quickly like that, you know.
I mean, I can't say with AMC that and GME, that certainly was all online. That was all discussions happening in subreddits. But
even politically, like just talking, I mean, people can still will still get into arguments, right? But like no one goes after you as hard as if they were doing it online.
Oh, if they do, I got my knife now.
Oh, you're ready to stab.
Here.
Whoa! I could hear how sharp it was.
Yeah, suck on that. Suck on that. I'm going to reform the financial system by not selling my shares for profit. Idiot. What a fucking moron.
But is that you? You're saying that.
Okay.
All right.
That time it was directed at me. Before, the $500,000 a share was directed at these other people. Mm-hmm. That other one was directed at me. Okay. Yeah. The SEC is going to have to do something. They're going to see this. We're shining the light on it. It's going to rip the system down. They're going to have to reform it and rebuild it. Except for the fact that people who work for the SEC end up getting jobs at these big firms for ungodly amounts of money. And if you do anything to upset those firms, that job offer is not going to be handed to you. So why would you rock the boat?
Just kidding.
Why would you rock the boat when you can personally benefit? Who fucking cares about the good of society?
Nobody.
I got mine. Fuck you. Good luck getting yours, little bitch.
Welcome to One Topic, where we stick to one topic. My name is Alton Fischer.
My name is Greg Russ. I didn't look at the numbers for last week. Your show probably did better.
Oh, should we look now?
No, I don't want to look. I don't want to know.
Okay.
You're going to put me in a bad mood if you beat me.
Oh, true.
Which you probably did beat me because you got a lot of creeps who listen for your voice. It's not the content. I have to tell myself that. You just got a lot of pervs who just think if I listen to Autumn, maybe she'll send me nudes.
And they're right. I mean, what?
Listen to my episode and I'll send you some nudes.
Yeah, maybe Greg is really the nude sender.
Unbelievable.
People have been barking up the wrong tree for years.
How long was your episode? I didn't listen to it. I need to.
I think it was under 30, but it was over 20, I think.
I think mine was like 22.
Yeah, I think they said that mine was longer. I think someone mentioned that once, but...
Like that matters?
No. Mm-mm.
Doesn't matter how long it is. It's
it's how you use it.
The motion in the podcast ocean.
The motion of the sound wave.
Yeah. The waves and the sounds and the things that are said. All right. Well, okay. Now I am interested. I do want to look.
Should I look?
You
look.
No.
Are you looking?
Yeah. Let me look.
All right. You love it.
Because I know yours is going to have higher listenership.
Yours was out for longer.
Yeah, that's even worse. I had a few hour head start on you.
Yeah, if it...
No, here's what happened. Because yours was released second, it was at the top of the list.
Oh.
So when people went in to listen to the latest episode, it was yours.
Or maybe people just really like me.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Mm-hmm. What's it say? Did I win? I didn't even care about winning until you made it a contest.
What trash.
Oh, nar.
Strangely, though, neither got close to where our episodes together get.
Oh, that's kind of nice, then.
But just because you had... It's like much lower than our other episodes. Maybe people just hate it when we don't do the show together.
I mean, you maybe they didn't want to like have to listen to two. Maybe it felt like work.
Yeah, but they were each 20 minutes, 20 something minutes. So it was put them together, you get one episode. You had 449.
Mm-hmm.
I had 418.
Oh, so close.
So close, yet so far.
Yeah. Mine's so much better.
Whatever. Did you listen to mine? No.
I did. I listened to, not the whole thing. I listened to it for like 10 minutes, I think, before I started recording my own.
To gauge what I was talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Your kids not being able to sit alone? While you recorded an episode?
It wasn't that. It was just the timing of that day. I couldn't fit in a time where I had enough time to like sit and do the show.
All right. Well, I need to listen to your episode. I don't listen to any of our episodes.
The sound is bad.
How so?
My settings were off.
Why don't you use the tools? Wait, is there like a hiss in it?
No. What is that? Is that an airplane?
Oh, you can hear that, huh? It's probably a helicopter.
Helicopter.
There's so many fucking helicopters. When my parents just came to visit, my dad's like, what's up with all the helicopters? And I said, oh. You're right. I guess I tend to tune them out. There's a heliport close by in Manhattan, and I think it's all the rich people flying to JFK, and they fly right over. It's kind of annoying.
It's also like that in DC. There's always a billion helicopters if you're in town.
They could just fall from the sky like a rock.
They could.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah,
it's not like
they
can
even glide like an airplane can like glide for a really long time.
Yeah, some kind of mechanical failure. You're going down wherever you are, and good luck below.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was saying my audio was weird. I put filters on it and stuff to try and correct it, but especially just listening to yours and hearing my own, and it sounded okay in my headphones talking to myself, but listening back, it sounded weird. Something was wrong. So I fixed it in my settings. I couldn't do it that night because I had already recorded it. And then I was so tired, you know, I was like, I can't focus and do this. So then the next day I went in, I apologized to people. I was like, sorry, my audio sucked. But people said they didn't even notice. So
quite a few people say that. I had some bubbling gas coming up my throat.
Oh, you did?
I had to step away from the mic. It was like, it's like coffee. I don't even know if it was gas, but it was a noise that sounded like this.
I always like when that little frog happens in your throat. It's like,
it was kind of like that. It wasn't quite a frog.
What is that?
So you apologize. People always say, oh, it's not as bad as you're making it out to be. But as a person whose career is based in audio, I feel as though.
I can hear it. You know,
I'm like, I feel as though I should. You know, I'm releasing podcasts that are podcasts I don't edit.
I
compress the fuck out of them. I just flatten the waveform because there's no reason to have dynamics. We're just talking. But I boost the loudness, which is all against the way we release audio at work. So I always think about somebody I work with listening, like, what the fuck is the quality of this thing? But it's something most people aren't going to notice. But someone who knows what they're listening for is like, you fucking flatten the shit out of that waveform. Why?
Why do you do that?
So there's a consistency in audio levels because we record separately and I have to match our levels, which isn't a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
But it just, to me, is an extra step of making us the same level. It's nothing worse.
But not for yourself, though. Not when it's just you.
No, I still flatten it, though, because I don't I don't think there needs to be peaks and valleys in the waveform for spoken word music. Sure. But
see, I feel like it's nice because you're making some point or something and you yell and it's kind of interesting for it to be louder.
Well, it's still going to sound louder because the sound of the my voice is louder if I get worked up or if I speak a little more softly. That's still going to be present.
Okay.
It's just not going to be a thing where if I'm speaking softly and someone needs to turn up the volume and then I get really angry. And then it busts their ears out.
I see. Something that was happening with mine was like when I would get loud, it would like cut out, even though I wasn't in the red, you know, like I wasn't peaking. It was just some stupid, I can't even remember what I did to fix it, but I fixed it. But still, it was annoying and embarrassing. I was like,
good,
well,
now
I can't
I have
do
to
anything
listen.
About this.
No, I can't listen because it'll give you an extra listen.
Yes.
I know, your audio sucked and you still had better numbers than I did. What the fuck?
Well, that's the thing. It didn't suck. It just wasn't good. It wasn't at the quality that I should put out, you know? But also, I've listened to podcasts where the one person is mic'd and the other person accidentally was through their laptop, you know? And they normally have good audio and this time they didn't, but then you just like forgive it, you know? But if it's always bad, then I can't listen to something like that. It's too distracting.
I agree, especially when there's contrast between two people on the show. If someone sounds good and the other person doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
I know your boy, Dr. Drew, quite often. Not that I listen to a lot of his shows, but I feel like when I heard him, it was always hit or miss. Like, what are you doing, Dr. Drew?
Oh, you mean if he's not in studio?
I get it. There's no excuse to not have good sound if you're not in studio now. it may not be perfect because you could be in a room and there's a lot of bounce. But
yeah,
these
but
USB
people
are
through
mics,
their laptop mics, and those suck.
Those suck. It's inexpensive to get a decent USB mic these days.
True, but if you're not ever, if you're getting interviewed because you're just a person, you know, and you're being interviewed for something and you're not ever needing a microphone, then yeah, you're just going to use your mic from your laptop and it's going to suck.
The way I'm recording now is probably not the best way to do it. I'm standing at the dresser in my bedroom. I have.
Oh, you're standing. What a pro.
Well, the standing's fine, but I'm speaking into a wall. There's a wall like 2 feet away, so it's probably bouncing off of the wall and coming back. But oh well.
I thought talking into a wall was good because it like absorbs.
It depends on the kind of wall it is. If it's a soundproofed wall, then great.
Mm.
If it's a concrete wall, no. This is
true.
I don't know. It's just standard drywall.
I'm in the corner of my closet.
Yeah, surrounded by clothes to absorb. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck were we supposed to be talking about?
Men's behavior. Okay, so this morning I started watching this little documentary. It's like a mini documentary. I think it was like on British television or something about real dolls and like the men who have real dolls and how they incorporate them in their lives.
Yeah, and like Dan Harmon.
Huh?
Like Dan Harmon.
Did he have a real doll?
He had a real doll because that woman he's engaged to,
mm-hmm.
who I went on one date with.
Oh, right.
Whole Quibbly series with Anna Kendrick about a real doll that came to life. And she said it was based on Harmon's real doll, which she found in a closet.
Yikes.
When she moved into his rich man's house.
That must have been a scary thing to find in a closet.
How would you feel? You or dating someone, it's going well, like you're moving in, let's say, and you didn't know they had a real doll.
Oh, I
doesn't
I
have
would
to have... be doesn't even have to be moving in. You just you but oh. you've established a relationship and then you find the real doll in the closet.
It would put me on notice to like, what else are they not telling me? You know, because they might be able to play it off as like, oh, I didn't even remember that I had that because it's something I don't use.
No, there's no way you don't remember that you had a real doll.
No, but it's something like if I've had it for so long and I don't use it and it's just in that closet in my rich man's mansion, then maybe you don't think that you have to tell somebody because to yourself, it's like not a big deal. But
that's fair. But if you say I didn't remember, that's a fucking lie. That's just something you don't forget that you have. It's too.
OK, but what I'm saying is, though, that it didn't occur to them to tell you that because it's not a big deal.
Okay.
I can justify it with that, but it would put me like, okay, but I got my eye on you.
So the problem isn't that there was a real doll in the first place. It's just that they didn't tell you about the real doll and you think there's other secrets.
Well, that's the big thing. The next question is why? Why do you have that?
So if there was a pocket pussy.
That makes more sense to me. Yes, that's within the realm of acceptable, like toy, I guess. Especially like a fleshlight, you know, not like that dismembered torso thing. That's
yeah, those are pretty creepy.
Yeah, like that's,
I remember at the radio station when remember some sex toy company dropped one of those dismembered torsos off.
Yeah,
it was really just the pelvic region.
Yeah. Wasn't it the butt? Like, wasn't it from behind?
Nah, I think this was the front, but there was a butt area. I just sat in that drawer until one day it wasn't in that drawer anymore. Somebody had taken it.
Yoink, that's gonna be mine.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was there
the
for
real
a few
problem
months.
Would be when it came back, like if it ever reappeared.
It was like those porn DVDs, since we used to get those into 96 Rock all the time.
But at least that's not like, that's being used by a DVD player and not by a human.
No,
genitals.
You're exactly right. There's a huge difference between the two. Yeah. But I still thought it was kind of weird that they disappeared. And
for sure.
Then someone brought them back. And said, just keep them. Here you go,
like
return
they never, it. Maybe they thought like you would never even knew it was, like you never knew it was gone.
I've used them. I'm done with them. But yes, if that thing comes back, I yes, yeah. You're right. Gross.
So what I thought was interesting.
Who took it?
Yeah, I don't know. What I thought was interesting about this was, of course, like, of course it's men, right? Because, well, all right, just okay. So it's men. And there was one of them that had, that was dating someone, that had just started dating someone, and they eventually broke up. But she was open-minded and she was okay with it. She was hilarious. She was like, we met online, and she was probably in her 40s. And she's like, we met online, and you know, he was looking for someone open-minded, and he saw my stud, and then he had a pretty good idea that I was open-minded. She had like a teensy little nose ring on the side of her nostril, you know, just like a little dot.
Where did she live?
I don't know where they lived, but I just thought it was hilarious that she was like, whoa!
If they're in Topeka, Kansas or something. Yeah. Yeah, that's out there.
Could be. It could have been something like that. But I just thought that was really cute of her. He really knew I was open-minded because he saw my stud.
He knows I'm open-minded and will bend backwards to please him and allow him to enact his fantasies and have an open relationship where if I ever went on a date with someone else, he'd get really pissed off. But he's allowed to go around and bang a bunch of different people.
No, he's not allowed to bang people. He's allowed to bang dolls.
Oh, that was the... Okay.
Yeah. So, and so he said that he told her that it was purely for, like, masturbation. You know, like, it was just, like, and only when he's single.
But what is this show?
I don't know. It's called, like, True Life or something.
And what was the episode was just about sex dolls.
Uh-huh. Real
dolls. Men who fall in love with him.
Yeah. I think it's called Guys and Dolls, actually. But yeah, so it was just the men, like there was one guy who he had a little bit of a hoarding, he had hoarding speech. He didn't seem to actually be a hoarder, but he held on to stuff, you know, like he showed a poster that he's had since he was a kid. And it was one of those like wizard, like mystical whatever posters. But it's just funny that he was like, this is
would
this
it have
poster.
Glown under
no
a black
it wasn't
light?
It wasn't because it was he was older, you know, so I don't know, it was probably from like the 70s.
And that was the heyday of the black light, I thought, the 70s.
Oh, that's true. It wasn't that though. It wasn't that. But he had lived with his mom, but then his mom passed away and he kept her room the same, like all her stuff was still in there. And he like does maintenance on his dolls. And
well, going back to the room.
Yeah,
I couldn't do that. I saw a video the other day where somebody had their dead cat stuffed. It was a professional company. This is what they do. It came back. It looked very good. It had its paws crossed. And the woman, it was an unboxing of the dead cat.
Oh, okay.
And she opened it. Yeah, it was pretty much taxidermied. And she opens the box, pulls away the styrofoam, and then she just breaks down in tears. He's back, and the husband or the boyfriend filming. Juggler is back. Juggler is returned, and she's just weeping over it. And I find it to be a strange thing. And then they have other cats who knew this cat, and they come up, and they don't know what the fuck to make of it.
Yeah.
Like, they know it's not the cat, doesn't have the same smell, it's not moving. I wonder if it's confusing for the cats. And I get that it's a traumatic thing to lose a pet, but I think in general, death obviously is a part of life, and preserving someone's room forever doesn't really help you move on. That, to me, is representative of just being stuck in that grief and not processing it.
Oh, for sure. And obviously this person, you know, is not in the best mental state if he can't have a relationship with anyone. And he talked about how, like, you know, he met a girl once, and who knows when this was, right? I met a girl once and we were talking. He's like, I know that, you know, I'm not good looking, I have bad skin and I'm too skinny and da 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 da. And we were talking and I Oh, she wanted my number. So I wrote my name down and put my phone number down and gave it to her. And then she called me about a week later and said, hey, I'm going on a date. Will you babysit my kids?
And that's a shitty thing to do.
Absolutely. Yes. No, I'm not saying anything about her being okay. I'm saying,
what sociopath does something like that? Who thinks that's okay?
Well, and also, when listen, this is from him.
More to that story.
Yeah, of course there is. I'm just yeah.
I know. You're just telling me. I know that you're just telling me. I just feel as though those people, guys like that, get so stuck in woe is me. I saw some posting the other day.
Yeah.
Some guy said something along the lines of, because somebody just posted, it had nothing to do with the people in the video, but within the video, there was a couple. There was a guy with his girlfriend, and the guy who posted thought that the boyfriend was undeserving of the girlfriend because he wasn't good looking enough. And he went on this whole rant about how he has a job and how he has a new truck and how he still can't get any, very entitled. I did the things I'm supposed to do. Now women should throw themselves at me and I should be able to choose who I want. I think that's one direction you go. You get aggressive, or the other way is just, yes, woe is me. Look how awful things are. I gave my number to a woman. She asked me to babysit her kids. Maybe he said at some point, I'll babysit your kids.
Well, he said no, which was kind of interesting. Like, he had enough sort of self-esteem, I guess, to be like, no. But people like to see the world in a way that reconfirms their knowledge of the world so that they feel like, see, I got it. Like, see, I understand. Right. So, of course,
it's not my fault. It's the powers of the world.
Like, this is just the way the world is. And here's another example of how, you know, women in a relationship, or women and me, you know, we just can't do it because the world is this way, and this reconfirms it. And so now I feel safe in knowing the world, right? So instead of the world just being something you have to navigate, you know? So yeah, he's really into his dolls instead.
So certainly my whole point, safer option.
Well, oh yeah, he did say, like, I don't think that he's ever had sex, but he talked about, like, sleeping with someone, I'd just be so worried that I was going to get her pregnant, you know, or does she have any diseases? And he doesn't, he's like, I don't like my dolls to wear thongs or in high heels and like sexy clothes, because then it just looks like 1,000 men have had her. Like, it's like going to a restaurant and you order steak and someone chews it up and spits it on your plate.
There's always an excuse.
It's like, okay.
There's always an excuse these people make. Retroactively, they change the narrative. They can't connect with women, so they don't get to the point where they can have sex. They say things. And I think they do convince themselves. I mean, maybe there is a real anxiety, but it can't. Obviously, there are different situations. I want to be careful what I say, because I do think there are some people out there probably so scared of getting a person pregnant that they shy away from sex, or so scared of an STD.
But even something like that needs to be dealt with.
Yes, it's still an issue, and you need to.
It's like saying, well, I don't go outside because I'm afraid a tree limb will fall on me. And it's like, yeah, I guess that could happen, but you also have to like live.
With this guy, though, it sounds like real inability to connect. Never even had the opportunity to have sex, and then retroactively says, oh, I could get her pregnant, or I could get...
And aren't I smarter for avoiding something like that?
Yeah. You guys are all idiots for going out there. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing where she's been used up. Yeah. The fuck do you care? I don't... I mean, that's a whole other path to go down, but obviously it's an issue. Dudes, they can have sex with hundreds of people, but if a woman does, it's like, oh, disgusting.
Yeah.
Fucking whore. Yeah, what does it matter?
Men
what
are
do you
strange.
Care?
Men, I'm sorry, not men are strange. Men can be really strange.
I and guess the is idea point. Is Wait, I let me want say, her over, right? The idea, I know you don't, you can get your point. I just think with that, the idea is if she hasn't had sex with a lot of people, it's obviously difficult for men to have sex with her, and if I get there, there's something special about me,
like a conquering.
Yeah,
there could be something like that. I wonder if it's, I mean, it's also probably biologically driven, right, to to my seed is the strongest. So like the whole design of the penis, right, is to like scoop out other sperm just in case.
So dumb.
Well, like that's why like ducks' penises or corkscrews or whatever. It's like it's all designed to like get mine in there better than yours.
And it's so dumb on some level. As humans, we're supposed to be able to think above our animalistic instincts. And a lot of dudes, if they were honest, would say, my seed is not the best. I should not be spreading my seed. Spreading my seed will only do harm to humanity. So.
They can't help themselves. They're sex.
So I will back off.
Like, no,
spread
they can't.
Nothing.
Yeah. If they feel that way, then they probably have lower testosterone than they're supposed to.
Oh, what do you make this commentary?
On what? On men?
On me? If you feel as though you shouldn't be spreading your seed, that you have lower testosterone?
No, I'm saying without like saying I'm so afraid, or no, saying like I am so worthless that even my sex drive can't overcome my feelings of worth, then yeah, there's probably something like chemically imbalanced with you, testosterone, like hormone wise, because that is the sort of nature of man, of a man.
Okay, so get back to whatever you're talking about.
Do you disagree?
I don't. I think they're very complex issues.
Well, yeah, of course. I'm not. This was not commentary on you. I wasn't thinking of you.
I don't think I'm not that really you. Offended.
I don't. I'm not. Okay, good. I don't think that you're not spreading your seed because you think that you're not worthy. You know, it's like I'm saying.
I think you can make that decision and be realistic about it. It's like, and this is in general. I suffer from depression because as a person, like personally, there's maybe been underlying low level depression, but I don't think I've ever actually been depressed where it's just crippling depression. But if you're a person who has some disorders, you can make the choice and just be very realistic about it and say, it's not,
for sure. I probably
shouldn't be procreating, yes, but I don't hate myself.
I could pass on this thing that I have, and I don't want to do that to someone else. Like, I understand that. I'm saying
my point is that the
person doesn't have sex at all because they don't want to pass on their whatever. I'm saying that that is a testosterone issue.
It certainly is a driving force.
Yeah, because even dudes that don't want to have kids will still gotta fuck.
As a person,
or like still wake up with morning wood, or like wake up and like have what if they don't masturbate, then they have wet dreams.
I mean, as a person who had a blood test done and it came back low testosterone, mm-hmm, it's a strange thing. I have plenty of fucking hair. I do wonder if my whole life I had lower testosterone, just a lower level. But then I say it's complex. I know dudes who are so driven, it's like, I gotta have sex, but then they can't even grow a beard. So the testosterone is being used in different ways. Mm. You can get into like free testosterone and shit like that. So the level itself isn't the only thing, I think, is
okay.
Originally when you said that. It's like, yeah.
How your body's using it?
Yes, your body uses it in different ways. To me, the guy who is so driven by sex but can only grow a wispy mustache and can't grow a beard because it just patches is funny to me. It's like you clearly have some kind of high testosterone drive, but your body is not using it.
But that's what testosterone... more testosterone does lead to baldness, right?
I guess at some level, maybe it can.
Yeah.
You're probably right. But there's other things when you have high testosterone. Sometimes you also have high estrogen. I don't know the different combinations. I just think it's a very complex.
Of course it's complex. And what do we know?
System that I can't really speak to because I don't know shit about it. So the man, getting back to this dude.
I know. Well, my point is that what I kept thinking about was the amount of like the fact that these are men and this is how they're coping with their inability to have sex, to get sex, to form human connection, because they really at least some of them, at least the one guy like had a for real relationship with his sex doll, like was kissing it and was happy to see, like it went away for repairs.
And then just like going to the hospital for a surgery. She'll be back. I'm a little worried, but
yeah, you know, like kissed it goodbye and was like, okay, honey. Like, and I know that there are women that like marry bridges and like, you know, hump a fence or a Ferris wheel and stuff. Like, I know that those people exist, but those are also grouped in with the people that like with other men too, that like make out with cars. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like people who form relationships with inanimate objects outside of a sex doll, like that's a whole different thing. That's like,
it is, because you can easily project human emotions and feelings onto a sex doll because it's representative of a person.
And especially they make it so that it like weighs a lot and it, you're like humping it and it kind of humps you back because it's of its weight, you know, like just physics, you know. So it there is a more human-esque element to that inanimate object. So I'm not saying that women don't have the ability to like get weird, but I feel like just the fact that this exists is so strange, because like women don't do that. Women don't have a torso that they sit on. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, if they do, a lot of the times it feels as though it's for show, so they can't make money with other
people. Oh, for sure. Yeah, you're right. Yes. And I'm not saying that that doesn't exist. I'm saying, though, a woman who maybe is socially awkward, has difficulty maintaining and creating relationships or close bonds with people enough to form a relationship, like they don't then get themselves a real doll that's a man, you know, and like sit with it at the table and sit next to it and like take pictures of it and stuff. You know what I mean? Like that's what all these guys were doing. And I just think it's interesting that like that's the way that men seemingly have to like compensate is through this venue of sex.
Well, a lot of it is nature, as you said, as we talked about with hormones, but I think socialization too, and this has shifted seemingly. I think people say that they've wanted it to shift, but ultimately they want some of the dynamics to remain where men are pursuers and providers in relationships. You don't want people to go to the extreme, like a man who pursues when he's been told no and thinks I'm being persistent and she's just playing hard to get. I've always approached it as she said no, she means no. And if she didn't mean no, then it's not something I want to deal with anyway, because what the fuck is that? What? Yeah. No, thank you. So it's never felt like a problem, but I guess men have a problem with being rejected. And, you know, we talk about how men shouldn't, that dynamic shouldn't exist in the same way anymore. And it leads to stalemates where people don't even know how to meet. And you take to online apps. And at that point, that's become a cesspool and nobody knows how to meet anymore. But that aside, traditionally, you know, men are pursuers. That's got to play into it, right? Where when they are pursuing but can't catch anything, I was going to make the comparison of like a lion that can't catch a gazelle. And if somebody provided just a fake gazelle, a gazelle doll that had real flesh in it that they
could
eat.
And it was running, they would like chase it.
They could eat, you know, that's nature and instinct. That's certainly built in. I guess it's the socialization of lions. Actually, the lions, that's a bad example because the women do all the killing and the man just sits there and it's like, thanks for the food, bitches.
Well, I mean, you could just say like, it's a cat, you know. A cat doesn't have a real mouse to chase, but it has this feather on a string that it likes to chase around.
That's true. I'm thinking of women, though. Women are more likely to seek emotional connection. I don't want to draw stereotypes.
Yeah, they'll read a book. They'll read like a sexy book.
But these men do create emotional connections to their sex dolls.
Yeah, so, because to me, I know... And I might be wrong, but I just feel mommy from them. You know, mommy, maybe all male, female have something to do with mommy. Right. But something like this really made me think like, I can't put my finger on it, but it just feels very like mommy coded, mommy related.
Yeah. I think that muddies the waters even more.
Yeah.
In this discussion, like everything, so many fucking factors. It's so complex. I think there's something to be said about how men and women form emotional connections to things and what they do with those emotional connections, where they're rooted, how they're grown. With men, it seems like an emotional connection comes into play if they pursue and they catch. And from that point, that gives them some sort of self-confidence. And then they're able to let loose and let go and allow the emotion to bloom, maybe in theory.
But then wouldn't that be like, problems. I could never catch mommy's love?
Yeah, it could go to that.
Yeah.
I think there's probably plenty of guys who have a decent relationship with their mom, but once they get out in the real world, they're having trouble with women. So,
well, that might, a decent relationship with their mom is different than, you know, a lot. And a lot of people say, oh, my relationship with my parents is great. It's like, well, okay.
It can exist outside of that.
Yeah.
I think is what I'm saying. If a person was incapable of getting, it just feels like a very simple, obvious answer. And there's a reason for that, because there is a lot of truth in it. Same thing with women. If they couldn't get daddy's love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But I think for the sake of this conversation, it doesn't necessarily have to be that. And then women, what causes a woman to grow an emotional connection? If you're saying that women, when they're looking for some sort of fulfillment emotionally, they can turn to books and read those romance novels from the grocery store, it's much less of a physical thing. I assume they're reading those books and putting themselves in the place of the woman who is being pursued probably by the strapping, good-looking dude who has put his life on the line for her and protects her and, you know, had to chase her down.
Yeah, yeah. Or like kind of forces her a little bit. I feel like a lot of those like romance things are a little like aggressive.
I've never read one, I assume.
Not always, but sometimes they're like, you know, at first it scared me and now it was pleasurable. You know, it's like, you know, it's like that relief. It's like a giving into. But I think with women, it's more of a feeling that like they're searching for a feeling. And men, I think, might also in this scenario might also be searching for a feeling. But they, like I said, the medium that they do it through is sex.
Do women, reading those novels, I just want to go back for a second. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's probably a plot point where a woman's being pursued and is resistant and thinks, I don't want this, but at some point gives in and it's so pleasurable and says, this is exactly what I wanted. I was so wrong. I'm glad this person pursued me. In real life, if that shit happened, they wouldn't like that. No one wants a dude coming after them.
No.
Constantly. So what is it? Why in those books, which I assume are written by men for the most part, maybe these days it's different, women are writing them, but it's a thing that women seemingly are into when they read it, when it's fantasy, but in real life, who the fuck is going to want such a thing? So why? Why is it appealing in written form or in a movie?
Well, because the person that's doing it in the book isn't creeping you out.
But is there, so there's a way to do it without creeping a person out?
Well, like in this scenario, right? Like the person, let's just say like maybe they're like a pirate, you know, and they're dangerous. And so you're afraid of them and you avoid them. And maybe they start looking at you and you like that they're looking at you, but it scares you. And so then they like corner you or something. And it's exciting and a little scary, but then they don't hurt you. Instead, they give you pleasure. And so it's like, it's a extreme way, I guess, of like giving into like trusting someone else that seems dangerous, and then you trust them, and then they like make you orgasm, and so like you're excited.
This shit is all over the map. No wonder it's confusing for people to know how to proceed. I think by nature, and which is why society has been structured this way, even with the shifts that are happening, men are still providers and pursuers, and women on some level want to be taken care of to varying extents. I understand the desire to be successful in your own right and independent, and you don't need someone to provide for you. But there's something nice about the idea of having a connection with the person where they want to provide for you and you care about each other to that extent. And, you know, men being physically bigger, going back to hunting and gathering days, it makes sense. Those were the roles, and that exists. And the fact that people can't accept that, a lot of people can, but there's some people who think that that's wholly a created thing and it's gross and toxic. And I think it's a real issue that people can't admit that.
I think it can be gross and toxic.
Sure. It can go to extremes. It can go to very real problems. I'm not trying to say that doesn't exist. The guy who doesn't take no for an answer, the aggressiveness that comes with it, the self-worth.
Unless he's a sexy pirate.
Yeah, the self-worth that's tied to it that leads people to getting angry and violent or completely becoming a recluse and marrying a sex doll.
Yes.
These are driving forces to the extreme. But at its most basic, there's nothing wrong with that dynamic. And I think that's where you need to start. And if you really want to explore the extremes of these things, you have to admit that this dynamic exists in the first place, that there actually are differences between men and women.
Well, I never subscribed to that idea that there are no differences between men and women. It's more that, you know, let there be access to for each, right? Like, if someone can, like, I don't know what I'm saying. I agree with you that like people do want to be taken care of, right? In different ways. Like, I want a man that's gonna, you know, take care of the bug. I don't want to be the one that takes care of the bug. But maybe if they're like sick, you know, it's in my nature to like help take care of you. You know what I mean? There's some like feminine versus masculine roles. And as long as that's fine with both of you, that's fine. It's more when they're like put on you. That's like, you have to be this way. That's different.
And nobody should be doing that.
No.
So many people
except
seemingly,
for religions.
Well, so many people seemingly get into relationships and then don't like the way the other person is. Now, do people present themselves transparently when they first meet? A lot of people probably don't. They aren't their truth. They exaggerate the better qualities.
Yes.
Some people probably outright lie. That's a whole other thing. But yes, you're putting your best face out there. Like, hey, this is who I am. These are the things. Me, on the other hand, I would present all the negative things, but people would find those things to be charming. Like, and then once you finally settled in and they started dealing with, the issues. Then I was trying to think of giving examples. I was like, do I really want to go down that path? No, there aren't any.
We know.
Yeah, there aren't any real examples anyway. It's just generalized behavior and things that I work through in therapy, and the lack of needs on my end. So somebody else having needs, like, hey, I don't ask you for things. Don't ask me for things. You know, there's a capriciousness to me, but you present these things early on. It's like, hey, I told you. And then the person is annoyed and the relationship fails And that's not to say that it's the other person's fault or my fault. Obviously, there was work that I needed to do. But at some point, people are who they are, and you need to accept that. And if it's not working for you, it's totally fine to leave the relationship. You can say, and it's a hard thing to do. I get it. You can still like the person very much. And it depends on what you're wanting to get out of the relationship. If you just want to date someone and that's it, then fine. Maybe it's worth putting up with the things you don't like because they're not coming into play in any meaningful way on a regular basis because you're just going out and doing things. But if you're looking for a lasting relationship to settle into and the person isn't someone that matches what you want, that is okay. It's a very hard thing to do to say, okay, well, this isn't going to work, but it is okay. And you should probably do that instead of staying in it and trying to force the person into some kind of mold. Forcing things onto people is never going to work. It doesn't fucking work. If you refer to your spouse as the ball and chain, it's like, hey, something's fucking wrong. What the fuck?
Ooh, you know that, well, first that made me think of people that, you know, like to sort of fit into that role. Like they like the idea of like hating their wife, you know, and complaining about the wife with their friends because that's like a fun, like bonding thing for them. Like they think that that's masculinity. It made me think of this, thing I found out about coffee and how, putting cream and sugar in your coffee feels like a less masculine thing to do nowadays. You know, like people make fun of you like, oh, you don't take coffee like a real man, just black. And that came from World War II when they didn't have any like sugar or creamer because of rationing and like supply things. And then also the soldiers and stuff, if they had any creamer, it was powdered and it sucked. So they were drinking black coffee. And then when they came home, it was like they just kept drinking black coffee because they felt like it made them more masculine. And then it turned into like a thing that only...
It always turns into a thing.
Yeah.
To me, black coffee in a situation like that is like, hey, these are the circumstances. I can complain all I want. I can whine. I can cry. Nothing's going to change it. So I just need to deal with it. And that in itself is something I think is a valuable trait. It's like, hey, there are many parts of life that are as they are. And, you know, if somebody is treating you like shit, or if there's really oppression happening, things like, then sure, you work to change it. But there are plenty of times like you just deal with it. And that's the best way forward. But for whatever reason, those things get hijacked. And then they become, well, if you don't operate like this to the extreme, if you don't just let everything be and just deal with everything, then you're a pussy. You little girly man.
Yeah.
You're always whining and crying. The world's a hard place.
That's right.
Close your mouth. Why does it always go to the extreme? With everything, people operate in extremes. I've done it plenty in my life, but I realize that now is, I don't know if people are so desperate to find identity and it's all wrapped up in every little thing that they can find. I have no clue what the reason is. But extremes spiral and compound. Somebody does something, say, all right, I'm going to do that thing. I'm going to do it even more than you did it. And then another person, I'm going to do it even more than you did it. And then is there an end game where I'm the person who did it the most extreme and nobody can do it more extreme, so I win? I have no fucking idea, but people are goddamn weird. At the end of the day, people so desperate, it feels, just to find identity and every little thing. This is what makes me who I am. And if you don't do it the same way, then you're wrong.
There's a, do you know, that guy from TikTok that's like, be a man, where he tells you like these dumb things about dudes, but it's just be a man. Yes. It's like, don't go food shopping, starve, die, be a man.
I mean, that's good satire.
Got something complicated to put together? Don't use the instructions. Be a man.
Yeah, it's funny.
Never learn from your mistakes. Be a man.
I don't know it from TikTok, though. I see it probably years later on Instagram. Once it finds its way to Instagram and it's become moldy. pixelated.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I've seen those things, but I don't see the new ones because I ain't watching on TikTok. Anyway, I guess you have to go pick up your kids. I don't know what we accomplished here today, but it was an exploration, to say the least.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I guess, think it out and talk about it. I just thought it was interesting. I don't have it figured out, and I didn't have it figured out.
No one's going to figure it out.
I was thinking about it when I was watching and how strange that, like, this is a wholly male activity.
People are ultimately responsible for themselves if they're operating in extreme ways.
Like, also, men are the ones that, like, kill, like, people and, like, do things weird sexually with them. You know, like, that's also, I know that's not the same, but it's kind of.
Well, in some way it's the same because you're enacting on a body that's not giving anything back.
What I mean is, like, women aren't doing that shit. It's like, dudes, fucking, like, testosterone is a poison.
Maybe men don't.
In high doses or like, if. Yeah, I'm not saying that that's why they do that. I'm saying there's a billion other reasons why they're doing something like that. But it is men who do that. And it's just
tie it to
interesting.
Testosterone.
No, I'm sorry. And I didn't mean to do that. It's not true.
I guess a lot of men don't want reciprocation in some way. They like the idea of here's a passive hole.
Yeah. And it's probably the only way that they think they can get it. But that's the thing. It's like women don't do that. And it's just strange.
There's an inability to communicate at that point. It's like, I can't express the things that I want. And if I did, they probably wouldn't be understood. And then, so it's just better.
They were abused also in a bajillion ways, I'm sure. But yikes. But women are also abused like that. And they don't murder and, like, rape them. Rape men.
Well, I can't really rape a man. Well, you can. Different ways.
Sure you can.
In different ways. You can't force a man to have penetrative sex, though.
No.
It can happen in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
If women, I would be curious if women were bigger physically. But if they were, then that means they would have a different mix of hormones, and then the whole thing would be
switch.
It's just stupid chemicals and electrical impulses shooting
through
our bodies. And they short circuit at times, they malfunction.
Meat with eyes.
They malfunction, and instead of going and getting fixed, you know, it's just. I'm going to continue to operate as this flesh machine that doesn't operate properly. And that's fine. Deal with it.
That's fine with me. That's just how I am. I'm a man. Be a man.
There's that whole thing. That's who I am. You don't like it? Deal with it.
Yep. Don't ask for directions. Be a man.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening. Sorry to all the men out there if I've offended you. If you have a male, if you have a sex doll and or a torso in your home, Godspeed, you know, whatever. Love you. Bye.